James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, we ask today again that you would please open up your word to us. Help us understand in a greater depth your goodness, your greatness, your beauty. Lord, help us to see your promises being fulfilled in Christ, and help us to be open to your Spirit as we sit under the preaching of your word. My prayer, Lord, is that anything that is of my flesh would fall on deaf ears, but that which is from you, Lord, would bring life and incredible fruit. So, Lord, we trust and hope in you, and we thank you for this time to be under the preaching of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue on in James, and one of the things that, if you're a legalist, you like about James is it tells you how to, it tells you things you're supposed to do. And I think it's natural in our flesh to want a list of how to. We like that because we can kind of check it off and feel like we won the victory or whatever. And but what it does is it's not a reflection of the gospel. And you know what we find here is that because of our flesh, we want a list on how to be wise, right? Tell us how to do that, James. But James does not describe wisdom with imperatives. Do this and then you'll be wise. He doesn't do that at all. As a matter of fact, he doesn't really give a definition of what true wisdom is. He just talks about it. And what we find is this, is that so many people don't understand what wisdom is. It's kind of like love. How do you define love? Well, it's love, right? How do you define wisdom? Well, it's just wisdom. Some people default to this. It's knowledge. That's what wisdom is. It's knowledge. That's not true. That's not true. People can be very intelligent and not be wise. I think the best definition of wisdom is the godly or God-honoring application of knowledge. The God-honoring or godly application of knowledge. And what James is doing here in this section of Scripture is he's following a pattern that he has had so far through James, and he will continue on to the end of it, is that he was saying, listen, faith is not, or you're not saved by works, you're only saved by faith. But if you have living faith, if you have true faith, then it will be demonstrated in the works that you do. So it's not just talk, it's walk, but you're not saved by your walk. And so what we find here is that he's saying basically that we're going to take that same principle and we're going to say, you know what? Just as your faith is demonstrated by your works, so is wisdom demonstrated by your works. That's what he's saying. That's the kind of the foundation for these few verses here at the end of chapter 3. Basically, he's again coming from the argument that there are two types of, well, he says faith earlier, two types of faith. Well, here he's saying there's two types of wisdom. These types of wisdom guide your daily decisions. How many decisions do you think an adult makes every day? Give me a guess. How many? How many do you think? 20,000? More. You know, not just process. More than 20,000 decisions. Children, I think you have about 3,000 a day is what I read. 3,000 decisions you make a day. Adults, 35,000 decisions a day. That's what they estimate. You go, that's too much. Well, you know, I'm going to wear this or that. No, I'm not going to. I'm going to wear this. Boom, boom, boom. All of a sudden, decisions add up real quick. And what happens is wisdom guides these 35,000 decisions that we make every day. And those decisions are made either with earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom is where James is coming from. Now we know that, you know, should I wear this pair of color of pants or the others? That's not really that much heavenly or earthly, unless I'm trying to impress people with my fancy dress, then it's an earthly decision. But we make our decisions, and they're based on either heavenly or earthly wisdom. Wisdom from above, as James calls it, is Christ-centered and others-focused, because that's what we see in the gospel. Heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above, is Christ-centered and others-focused. Our heart is for glorifying God, and we're looking at putting others before ourselves. We see that consistent in all that we're reading here in James and in the Word of God. What we're doing when we make those decisions that are guided by wisdom from above is basically we're revealing that by the way we live, we really, honestly, truly believe that Jesus is what we need to be happy. That's what we're doing. We're saying, you know what? Through our actions, Jesus is enough. Jesus is where my joy is. I'm satisfied in Him. So I'm not pursuing other things. I'm not caught up in other things. Because worldly wisdom, or earthly wisdom as defined here, is rooted in selfishness and pride. That's what worldly, earthly wisdom is rooted in. Take a look at God's Word. Continuing on in James chapter 3. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be false, do not boast, and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. So he's saying, selfishness, selfish ambitions, jealousy, envy, all those things. That's not the type of wisdom. When you act like that, when you're acting with those primary motives behind you, that's not wisdom from above. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So that's the kind of wisdom you're operating in. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So if we were to kind of look at it and put some of these principles into maybe a small verse, that we'd say, what does it look like? Somebody that is being led and guided by earthly wisdom. Probably a good summary right here is 1 Corinthians 15, 32b. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let's eat and drink, because tomorrow we're gone. And in Matthew, we see chapter 16, verse 23. Get thee behind me, Satan. This is when Peter said to him, don't go to the cross, basically. And Jesus turns and says to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. That's worldly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. What it is it's this idea that we're going to get what we want. Our comfort, our desires are above everything else. Envying and personal ambition produce an earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom. Very important how those words are laid out. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. What we see is that our decisions are based on selfishness, which is primarily concerned with the here and now. Okay? Give you an example. Should I give to this need or should I put it in my retirement? Okay, so something as simple as that could be an issue of, am I going to go with earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom? And one of those, and the here and now, because here and now, well, I've got to save up, I've got to retire, I've got to do these things. So we could be in battle. Now, I'm not saying every time you have this decision, you got to make it for giving to the needy. But I'm saying, you know what? That's one of those things where all of a sudden, okay, how are you going to go with this? A little bit more in a retirement fund, or you're sensing that the Holy Spirit is leading you to give out of need, and you go, well, yeah, but that would really help me in 15 years from now, God. All of a sudden, it doesn't seem like, boy, how are we going to be guided in a decision like that? By earthly wisdom or wisdom from above? Wisdom from the earth is for the here and now. Wisdom from above, we see, is we're looking to the future, to the day when, as I read my devotional this morning from morning and evening, where Jesus will constantly be before our eyes, his beauty and his glory. We're living for a greater future, a different home. You know what I'm saying? That's heavenly wisdom from above. But there's earthly wisdom. It's about here and now. It's about getting my stuff now. We try to control others and circumstances in order that we will feel safe and significant. It's about controlling. We're all control freaks, as one man said. We are all control freaks. Every one of us in this room. And we want it the way we want it, and we're going to try to work people and circumstances so we get what we want. And it might just be peace or just laziness. I don't want to do that. I want to sit down and I want to watch this show, or I want to do this. So no, I'm not going to do that. So we are all control freaks in this room. Some greater than others. But we do that because we want some kind of significance. We want some kind of personal comfort, and with that significance. So people think a certain way about us. I don't want them to think I'm lazy, so I will go do this. Or I want, you know, we struggle. We want to make much of our name. More so than we want to make much of God's name. We want people to say, oh, he's an awesome preacher, or he's this, or he's that, or she's this, or she's that. And so we try to control the situations. We try to control people so that the end result is what we're desiring in our flesh. And so we will be guided by earthly wisdom because our motive is selfishness. Our motive is maybe even jealousy, as it says here. They've got what I don't have, and I want it. So I'm going to act accordingly, which bottom line is to me selfishness. Because it's what I want, and I don't have it, so you do, and I'm mad at you. We pursue these things, and we have this me attitude on the inside that is driving our decisions. And we pursue what we want, what we feel, or what we think is best for us. That's what we do. And sometimes we can use excuses. We can even use God or his word. You know, we may get in an argument that is theological in nature, but it's not one of the critical issues. But we're going to prove everybody wrong because we have to have people think a certain way about us. Or we make a decision because, well, this is the best for my family. I think Andrew hit a great point last week. When he said, when it comes to serving, we're willing to serve our family, but we're not willing to serve the body of Christ. See, that's one of those earthly driven decisions. You know, and we can kind of cloak it and say, well, you know, it's all about my family. And it sounds good. You know, a lot of times it's common sense too. Common sense is not common, first of all, but we automatically default that common sense is godly wisdom from above. And it's not. It's not. Common sense is not necessarily wisdom from above. So what happens is there's this wisdom that's earthly wisdom that's focused on the here and now. It's me-centered, it's selfish, and it's unspiritual. And we see over and over in the Word of God where people fell into that. Common sense, maybe. Think of Abraham, right? Common sense, thinking it through. Well, if I go into this nation and they see that Sarah is my wife, they're going to kill me to get my wife. So common sense says what? She's not my wife, is what we'll tell them. And we'll just say she's my sister. And that solves the whole problem. Godly wisdom, right? Common sense, not God's wisdom. Sometimes the heart is involved, as Peter was here. Loved Jesus, didn't want to see him die. Don't do that. I think parents can sometimes fall into this when your kid walks up to you and says, I want to be a missionary in some Middle Eastern country. And you, oh, well, you know, you better make sure that's God. I'm not saying it is or isn't. You see what I'm saying? We default to those things. We say, well, clearly, your safety is an issue here, so that can't be God. We make decisions with earthly wisdom. And our real heart is we're selfish. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we don't want our kids to go. We don't want them to get hurt because we love them, but we get something from that too. So what happens is there's this earthly wisdom. You know what the great news is as we look at this? And I would use an example today too. Here's one that a lot of people have gone through. Someone gets pregnant out of wedlock, right? And, you know, takes two. So both of them are struggling and they're thinking through things. You know, it's just not convenient right now. Earthly wisdom. I've got plans in my life, and this really messes those up. So I think this is the best course of action, don't you? Yes, I do too. Okay, then let's go have an abortion. Earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom. Focused on the here and now, primarily about me. But the great news is that in the Word of God and in our own personal lives, God redeems foolish, stupid, earthly wisdom-driven decisions. He did it with Abraham. He did it with me. He did it with you. It just displays the greatness of our God, doesn't it? A great God. That, yeah, Abraham lied and all these things went down and what occurred? God blessed him. He took care of the situation. So many decisions that we make that are based in earthly decisions or with earthly wisdom. God in his kindness and his goodness redeems. I think of my own life and a decision I made years and years ago. I was out down fishing. And all of a sudden, I'm fishing and I see something sticking out of the rocks. I climb up there. Somebody had stuffed pornography in there. And I made a decision. I'm going to take that home. And that started a huge addiction to pornography. But you know what? God set me free. Just a picture of his beauty and his greatness. You know, because I needed that to feel good. Sometimes we use alcohol. I'm hurting. I want to numb the pain. This will work. We use earthly wisdom. Sometimes it leads us to sin, sometimes not. But the good news is our great God, even when we make all, and we're all flashing back, aren't we right now? We're flashing back to just stupid, earthly, based, earth wisdom made decisions that we had. And God is so good. He redeemed us. He saved us from all those. Now we still reap what we've sown. That we see at the end of this particular chapter. But God redeems. Brothers and sisters, earthly wisdom is all around us. And more importantly, earthly wisdom is in us. It's in us. It's this fallen nature. You know that this battle that Paul is talking about, the things I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I keep doing. That's that earthly wisdom that is within us and around us. It's the life guided by trying to always get for yourself what you think will make you happy outside of Jesus. and you don't care who or what it costs you. That's earthly wisdom. That's living your life guided by earthly wisdom. Again, it's a life guided by trying to always get for yourself what you think will make you happy outside of Jesus, no matter what or who it costs you. And the cost is high. Don't let the enemy sell you short. You know, one of the first time, I think, I'm not sure, but I think the first time wisdom was mentioned, do you know when it was mentioned? Genesis chapter 3. You know what happened in Genesis chapter 3? The fall of man. And what did Satan promise Eve? If you eat, you will be wise, like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. So what we find is that living according to earthly wisdom is destructive. We know what happened with that decision. A promise of wisdom from Satan's earthly perspective. And the world crashed. People sinned. And so we know that a life guided by earthly wisdom will bring spiritual destruction, relational destruction, and just practical destruction. That's why it says here in James chapter 3, what does it do? There will be disorder in every vile practice. That is the fruit. That is the fruit of having your life guided by earthly wisdom. Disorder in every vile practice. That's what happens. It destroys relationships. It destroys all kinds of things. You know, we're so busy with the world that we push the things of God aside. Don't have time to sit in the sweet presence of my Savior. Got to get this and this and this done. One of the greatest regrets I have is just a busyness that I didn't take the time. I remember one time I was working on my GTO. I had the vinyl top, the roof was all rusted, and I'm grinding on it in the middle of summer, and my daughter Katie and her friend were in the swimming pool, and Katie says, "Dad, come on into the pool and swim." And I said, "No, I can't do that. I've got something. I got to get this done." Still to this day tears me up. Earthly wisdom. Wanted people to think well of me. Had to have a good work ethic. Put all that stuff aside. Put that ahead of my own daughter. Earthly wisdom. Guiding and directing our decisions. But the good news is the news that we find in the gospel. That the cross rescues us from a life guided by worldly wisdom. And then there's Jesus. He rescued us from this. Wisdom from above, as we see in Scripture, wisdom from above is rooted in an undeserved and unconditional grace. It comes down from above. Wisdom from above is rooted in unconditional and undeserved grace that is found in wisdom incarnate, our Jesus. Our Jesus. That's where we find this wisdom from above. In Christ. Who He is. As we treasure and pursue Jesus, as we delight in Him, what happens is that as we pursue Him, we receive the wisdom that He freely gives. You see, we're not pursuing wisdom, we're just delighting in Jesus, who is wisdom. It's just kind of a natural fruit. Like, that's what we find consistently throughout this book of James. That as we delight in Jesus, as we find our satisfaction in Christ, and we draw near Him, and we just fellowship with Him, and we delight and abide in Him, then these things start happening in our lives. They're natural fruit. And he's saying part of this is that as we find our hope in Christ, and we realize that He is all we need, He's all we desire. Then what happens is we make decisions differently. And they're decisions that are made from wisdom from above. Because that's where our heart is. That's where our desire is. It's not earthly here and now. It's okay. And so what happens is the way we make decisions, the wisdom behind those decisions is godly wisdom because of who we're delighting in, who Jesus is. He becomes our wisdom, literally. And we read about him in his word. We delight in Christ. We treasure him and we receive the wisdom that we need because we're abiding in Christ. He is our joy. And then we show this truth that Jesus is really where our heart is. He is our delight. He is who we're hoping in and we're satisfied in. And we show that by living a Christ-centered life that is others-focused, which is from wisdom from above, is what gives us that heart. It's so impossible any other way. We can't do this in the flesh and in our own strength. We are dependent upon God to do this work in us. And so we delight in Christ, and he changes who we are. He changes our priorities. He changes our desires. And then what happens is our lives become more Christ-centered and others-focused. It's not about me anymore and my selfish ambition. I don't care about making a name for myself. I don't worry about that. I want the glory of God in my life. I want to honor Jesus, and I don't really worry about whether people pat me on the back or say this or say that. It's about Christ. And through my life, the way I live, this Christ-centered life that's focused on others, it'll be very clear that I believe that Jesus is all I need to be happy. And that I am living my life directed by wisdom from above. Because in our flesh, we can't do that. See, that's what I desire. And then what we do is we glorify Jesus by being satisfied in him and asking him, and then receiving this marvelous heavenly wisdom. Jesus, please give me wisdom to know how to handle this. Grant me wisdom today for those 35,000 decisions. And yes, maybe the color of my shoes, who knows if that makes any difference eternally. It doesn't, but you know what? Don't you just want to be Spirit-led your whole life? I do. Every decision. And so God, this morning, today, on all my 35,000 decisions that I'm going to be making, I want those decisions to be driven by wisdom from above. Would you do that, Lord? And if there's a specific thing that's going on, Lord Jesus, I need you to reveal what I should do. I need heavenly wisdom from above. I had a decision to make this morning. I can't tell you the details, but it came down to whether I wanted to be more or less generous with somebody else's money, in one sense. You know where I defaulted naturally? Yeah, you know already, don't you? The less. And somebody looked at me and said, I just believe we should be generous. And I said, okay. And I said, there you go, wisdom from above. Wisdom from above. We ask God and he gives it to us. And Jesus is glorified when we ask, and then he will give wisdom in abundance to those who ask. And this God-given wisdom, brothers and sisters, I'm so excited about this. This God-given wisdom produces beautiful, sweet fruit in our lives. Take a look at what it does. Now, before I even start there, this is a wonderful picture of who Christ is. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus. Throughout the Word of God, we see little snippets of the beauty of Christ. And this is one of them. This is where the cross is hidden and the beauty of Christ is revealed. If we just look beyond just the surface. Look at this. But the wisdom from above is first pure. Okay? Within the context of this section of Scripture, what that is referring to is free from jealousy and self-ambition. Because what did it say? If you're jealous and you have self-ambition, that is not wisdom from above. So now he's talking about wisdom from above, and in particular saying, you know what? It's pure. It's free from jealousy and self-ambition. Then peaceable, which is opposite of discord used in verse 16. Okay? So it's peaceable. It's gentle, thoughtful, respectful, not bitter or insensitive. William Barclay said that this is one of the hardest Greek words to translate into English. The Greek word for gentle. Open to reason. It literally means easily persuaded. Or if we go back to the first chapter of James, quick to listen. See how that's all tied together when we study the Word of God, take it in the context that it's in, plus the whole book. And so we go back and we see, okay, here we go. Quick to listen, full of mercy, active sympathy, compassion towards others, and good fruits. We see that word fruit again. Again, coming back throughout the book of James. And impartial. Here it means unwavering, consistent in its commitment. Goes on to say, and sincere. In other words, trustworthy, transparent. Same on the inside as the outside. That's what it's saying. That's the fruit of this wisdom from above, which is opposite of discord in every vile thing. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the principle of what? We find in Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. We see here just who Christ is. Pure. Not self-ambition. He came to serve us. To die on the cross. Pure from self-ambition. Peaceable. Not disorder. We just see Jesus was gentle. Full of mercy. I mean, isn't that the gospel? This particular word, full of mercy, is active sympathy and compassion towards others, and in particular, especially those who have caused their own pain. Isn't that us? The whole idea of sinning and causing our own issues, and then God had compassion and mercy, sent his son Christ for us? That's incredible. This is a beautiful picture of God and the gospel right here. And good fruits, impartial and sincere. What a picture of Christ. What a beautiful picture of the embodiment of all wisdom, Jesus. And if you want to do a study, go back and look in Matthew chapter 5 at the Beatitudes. So many of these things right here in this section of Scripture parallel the Beatitudes. Again, the amazing Word of God and how clearly it wasn't written by men, but rather those who were driven and guided by the Spirit of the living God. Only He can do that stuff. Amen? Only He can do it. So what we come to is that our life's choices, our priorities, our behavior will reveal if we are guided by worldly wisdom or wisdom from above. That's what James is saying. You'll know whether you have wisdom from above, because this is the fruit of wisdom from above. You'll be able to tell them by their fruit. And as it is stated in verse 18, and the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We will reap what we sow. And you know, God redeems things. Like I said earlier, we look at Abraham and we look in our own lives. God redeems, God provides, you know, blesses us in spite of ourselves. But there is a reaping and a sowing, and we don't like that so much. And that's where we question whether God really loves us and all these other lies that the enemy sows in our hearts. So we look and we see that, and we realize that we will reap what we sow. I have a little story. There was a wise woman who was traveling in the mountains, and she found in one of the streams a precious stone. She knew it was worth a lot of money. And then the next day she was in town, and there was a traveler who ran across her who was really hungry, and he asked the woman if she had anything for him to eat, and she opened up her little baggie and had some food in there, and he saw the stone, and he said, "Can I have that?" And the woman just automatically reached down and gave it to him. Okay? So the guy is just rejoicing because he knows that this stone will give him security for the rest of his life. And so he walks away with this stone and all excited. And a few days later, this gentleman finds this woman and he gives her the stone back. And he says, "You know, I've been thinking. I know how valuable this stone is. But I'm going to give it back to you with the hopes that you will give me something more precious." Give me what you have inside that would enable you to give me this stone. Wisdom. Wisdom on the woman's part. Wisdom from above. Give me what enabled you to give me that stone. Because that is more precious. Brothers and sisters, we live our lives guided by wisdom. It's earthly or it's heavenly. 35,000 decisions a day. They're guided by what we hold precious. And our life reveals what we hold precious. Either we'll live by earthly wisdom that is rooted in selfishness and in pride, or we'll live with a wisdom from above that is Christ-centered and others-focused. Entry into the wisdom above comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we enter wisdom. What is the beginning of wisdom? Do you know? Fear of God. Fear of God is a representation of salvation. So the beginning of wisdom, how we enter into wisdom to get this heavenly wisdom, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Understanding that I am separated from you, God. There's nothing I can do to make my life right with you. I have sinned. And your word says that if I have sinned, I am separated from you for eternity. And there's no hope, nothing I can do to bridge that gap. I can't do it. My good works don't outweigh my bad works because all the sin that I've done needs to be punished. So I'm in a desperate place. And God saw that. And Jesus came, lived the perfect sinless life. Perfect sinless life. And then went to the cross. And all the sin of those who would believe in him, receive the gift of salvation, would be punished. Because God is loving by sending his Son, but he's also just by punishing the sin of all who would receive Christ as a Savior. Their sins were punished. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. God, an outward sign that God had accepted the sacrifice of Christ. And so we enter into this wisdom by first coming to Christ, by repenting, saying, "I'm guilty as charged, Lord. Forgive me. I want to receive the gift of salvation that Christ provided for me." So we enter into wisdom, and then something incredible happens. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us. And He is the teacher, is what the Word of God says. So when we ask for wisdom, he teaches us what wisdom is. And where do you think what do you think he uses to teach us that wisdom? That's it. The Word of God. The Word of God. He takes us there. And that's how we know, I think, when it is either earthly wisdom or wisdom from above. Because God will never direct you opposite His Word. Ever. Ever. So a practical application. Know the Word. Know the Word. The promises are there. Whatever application of godly knowledge you need, that you lack, ask God, the source of wisdom, for it. And He will give it to you generously and will not withhold anything. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy to walk in it. We all know that. But He will give us the wisdom, and then He will enable us to hope in Him because we delight in Christ. Take a look at these last few verses. James, back in James here. James 1:5. If anyone, any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. There you go. What should, look at this then. Ephesians, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Wisdom, we want wisdom. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. Don't be foolish, be wise. How? Understand what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand that? Primarily through the Word of God. Seeking Him in prayer, delighting in Christ. What would Jesus do? WWJD. So we find our wisdom in Christ. We delight in Him, and He produces the fruit of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, as we delight in Christ, as we put our hope in wisdom incarnate, what happens is that your life will reveal, your life will reveal that you possess a wisdom from above. And that you truly, truly, in the depths of your heart, believe that Jesus is all you need to be happy. There you go, God's Word. God's Word. So, by God's grace, let's delight in Jesus and see the wisdom that He gives us. He is that wisdom. And He will reveal the direction He wants to take our lives in all those crazy decisions every day. Let's pray. Lord, we come before You asking You to please... please open up our hearts to receive Your wisdom. God, that we would just delight in You, Lord Jesus. That's our heart's desire, to delight in You and abide in You and know that in You is all the wisdom we need. And so we see that as just another part of Your beauty. And so God, today, draw us close. Cause us, thank You for Your redeeming our stupid earthly driven decisions, and cause us now to walk in a way that is wise, directed by wisdom from above. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.